WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. That's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome and good evening. You are tuned into Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. April 26th, the final Monday Night Talk of April, cruising into the month of May. By the end of this week, it's hard to believe that time is flying by. Just so you know, tonight's show is an abbreviated program, as we will make way for a political forum at the top of the hour, in the 7 o'clock hour, a one-hour forum featuring the candidates who are running for Pembroke Board of Selectmen. I believe the candidates are Dan Trabucco, John Brown, Karen Rayner, and Thomas Driscoll. Your moderator, WATD Managing News Editor, Christine James. So that's coming up once again at the top of the hour. In the meantime, we will still have radio program for you up until 7 o'clock. We will start things right after traffic, and we will do a State House report. We return with a State House report this week as we took a hiatus a week ago. Joining us is State Representative Matt Muratori, representing the 1st Plymouth District. It's been since February. We haven't had him on to chat. We like to have a regular rotation of representatives and senators, state senators who join us. So it's great to have Matt joining us again. A few of the things that we can talk about, and interesting enough, starting today, I think they're probably a few hours in already. The House of Representatives are actually tackling the fiscal 2022 budget, at least their version of it. We will talk to the representative about that, talk about any amendments that might be heard that maybe he is going to somehow have involvement. I believe that one of them will be about a study in regards to having a convention center here in Plymouth County. We'll get the details from him about that. Also, I think he also has been named, or he has a new committee assignment. We'll talk a little bit about that and a bunch more. Following the representative, we're going to speak with our friends over at the True Repertory Theater. They're doing a little bit of a fundraiser. They have a Mother's Day basket. We'll give you all the details as to what's in the basket. But the drawing, the winner will be selected on May 6th. Joining us will be Paul Noonan and Donald Sheehan, both of them from the True Repertory Theater. We'll get their take on what's going on and also find out why they're raising funds. I would suspect that they're doing it for their upcoming season of plays, but we'll actually hear from them and get their take on what it's doing, what they're doing with the money, and how the pandemic has really affected theater and being able to congregate and be able to entertain people. So we look forward to that conversation coming up in a few moments. Right now, though, time for us to find out what's happening out on the roadways one final time today, being brought to you by Brendan's Smoke Shop, online at brendansmokeshop.com. With locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford, and Weymouth.
Expressway southbound's jammed from the tunnel down to Columbia Road. Northbound, you're on the brakes from Granite Ave to Freeport Street. Route 3 south is tied up from the expressway to Union Street. 93, that's delay-free either way between Braintree and Canton. And Route 24 south's body delays from 93 to Harrison Boulevard. This report is sponsored by Mothers Against Drunk Driving. For victims of drunken drug driving, your grief is unique, but you're not alone. You always have a place at MAD. Call the 24-hour victim helpline at 877-MAD-HELP or visit MAD.org. Traffic on the 9s every morning. I'm Lisa DeMilo in the WATD Traffic Center.
Hey, it's Jeff from Brennan Smoke Shop. I gotta give credit where credit is due. Al Gamash & Son, Michael Green Painting, and Foley Electric. Without these local contractors, Brennan's Smoke Shop would be ugly. Every store we open, these guys get better and better at building them out. Take the new store in Hudson, New Hampshire, for instance. We put the display cases and the huge, absolutely enormous walk-in humidor on the same light switch. Thank you, Foley Electric. Justin Gamash, the & Son, put a ramp in for the two-wheel dolly that carries the product from our local wholesaler, William Zoll & Son. Michael Green Painting. Oh my God, dude. They're like thing one, thing two, thing three, thing four, except they put paint on, not take it off. Come see their workmanship at our new store in Hudson, New Hampshire, June 2021. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts and soon New Hampshire. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and proper ID is required.
Follow Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we cruise into the first segment of Monday Night Talk. I know last week we deviated from our regular ways of doing our radio shows. We had a very important conversation with Kenny Mitchell from Hanson as they were having an informational discussion in regard to a Prop 2.5. And, you know, when you're trying to get information out, it's okay to kind of put a pause on the State House report, but we return back with the segment this week. And what a better way to get right back into a winning streak other than one of my favorite state reps. Well, they're all my favorite state reps, but he just like, again, he's one of my top 10, top five state reps. Matt Muratori, representing Plymouth, the first Plymouth district. Representative, how are you, sir?
Good yourself, Kevin. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, again,
one of my top five hosts, radio hosts too.
Well, I appreciate that. And again, I have to say, I say it repeatedly, and I hope people don't get sick. I hope people realize that the folks that the elected officials here on the South Shore who serve us up at the State House, whether they're state reps or state senators, and regardless of their party affiliation, are always make themselves available, whether it's this radio program, whether it's the news department or another radio program, to at least discuss. And I think that's important because I feel what that does is it provides transparency into the process.
Yeah, absolutely, Kevin. And we thank WATD and all the programming for having us on. And that's how we communicate to the people. And that's how we find out what people are looking for as well. So we thank you.
Well, and I feel even more fortunate knowing that you yourself have begun your own mini Boston Marathon. And when I say that, I'm talking, it is budget season. And all this week, you are going to be putting in some long hours as the House of Representatives begins putting together the 2022 budget.
Yeah, we started at 11 o'clock this morning. We're projected to go probably close to midnight tonight. We'll hit it again tomorrow and Wednesday, definitely maybe Thursday and Friday as well. But we'll be going, these are our marathon days into the nights doing this House budget. There are 1,100 plus amendments to the $45.6 billion budget that we're going to be debating, mostly virtual too.
And how does that work? Do you look to weigh in or at least, you know, say something in regards to those 1,100 amendments, or do you pick and choose depending on how it's going to impact your district?
Yeah, you kind of pick and choose how it's going to impact your district, but what they do is the chair of the House Ways and Means, he'll consolidate a lot of the items into groupings. So if it has to do with housing or if it has to do with healthcare or tourism, they'll be all consolidated, and you have an opportunity to go in a virtual room to plead your case of why you think you need this, you know, this particular money for your district.
And it's interesting you mentioned the House Ways and Means. Did you not recently get a new committee assignment?
Yeah, I was very excited about this. I've been lobbying for the House Ways and Means Committee since I got in 2014, because, you know, as a former vice chair of the Finance Committee for the Town of Plymouth, I've always enjoyed municipal financing, and so having to be part of the state budget has just been awesome. It's been a great learning experience. You get to hear from all secretaries and learn the budget, every single line item of the budget. And myself, we actually have another representative in the area, Representative Catherine Lennox, who is also in the House Ways and Means, as well as Representative Patrick Kearney. So we have three from the South Shore. And then, of course, Patrick O'Connor, the Senator O'Connor, is on the Senate Ways and Means. So we have pretty good representation on the South Shore on the Ways and Means.
And how important is that when you're trying to get, you know, whether it's projects, whether it's funding, whether it's for education, whether it's for Chapter 90, you name it, how important is it to have key roles on those committees?
It's very important, Kevin, to be able to lobby for, for your districts and for the Commonwealth. Being on the committee gives you a step ahead of, you know, the other 150 representatives that are part of the House. Working with the chair and the staff of the chair of the House Ways and Means really gives you a leg up and gives you good access and pretty good input into how the budget is shaped.
We started out this discussion when we're talking about budgets, about amendments. Is this where, in fact, a particular amendment that you have put forth could possibly be heard or be part of the process?
Yeah. We filed four different amendments, but the top one that we looked at was, it has to do with a convention center in this area. We are we put in for $150,000 study. I am the ranking minority member for the House Ways and Means Tourism Committee, and for Arts and Culture as well. And it's something we've been looking at for a few years here in Plymouth. The late Paul Cripps from Destination Plymouth always said this area is ripe for a convention center, and I think now is a time to do that. With tourism as our number one industry. Tourism is we've lost so much revenue in tourism, and it's going to take some time to come back. But we need a lot of jobs. We need to bring jobs back as well, and that's not going to come back so readily. So having a convention center in this area, I believe, would be ideal for this area. Not sure where. The study would actually look at, is a convention center needed? What's the right amount? $4,000 or $5,000. We're not talking a TD Garden. But we're talking some maybe 4,000 or 5,000 convention center, but also that would have meeting rooms on the side off the side of it, and having folks, the business communities coming for exhibits, meetings, whatever, coming during the week and not just weekends, but coming during the week as well. Would be really good for this economic growth in this area.
I'm hearing Clinton and
Plymouth County.
I'm hearing Plimpton and Carver are front runners right now for possible. I kid, but I mean, where would you say, just as an educated guess, what would be the gravitational pull as to where a convention center? Again, the study will determine that, if it's feasible. But would it be Brockton or Plymouth? I mean, are those two? That's what I'm just wondering out loud.
Yeah. Well, The Destination Plymouth, the organization that also has the Plymouth County Convention Center. They're the organization run by Lee Filson. They're the organization that's going to be getting this money and dealing with that. As you know, they represent Plymouth County, the city of Brockton, the 26 towns. A study will look at that. Obviously, my preference will be in Plymouth, in the heart of tourism in Plymouth and somewhere off downtown Plymouth. Or on the waterfront, I think would be an ideal location. We are known in Plymouth number one area for tourism. But if we can attract businesses to come here as well. I'm also on the Plymouth Economic Foundation, and one of the things we are looking at as an economic foundation is trying to get a number two industry in here. And we're trying to get the Commonwealth and, you know, businesses throughout the United States and the world to look at Plymouth, that, you know, bring your business here. We have land, we have industrial parks, you know, we want you to come here. So if, you know, if we could do something here in Plymouth, I'd be thrilled. But to get something in the area, I think will be a plus.
Yeah, you're just tuning into our conversation. We are speaking with State Representative Matt Muratore, as he is my guest for the State House Report, talking a little bit. We started teasing the fiscal 2022 budget as he's in the thick of things up at the State House with budget season beginning. Well, I should say the budget process for the House of Representatives, while also teasing the idea of a study that he actually put forth an amendment to study the possibility of a convention center here in Plymouth County, which is fantastic. Talking a little bit about the budget, I know that during the break we were talking a little bit about the governor put forth his budget earlier this year for fiscal 2022, somewhere in the neighborhood of $42.6 billion. Where would the House budget come in, and how does it differ, or is it pretty much similar to what the governor put forth?
It's not much difference when you're talking $42 billion. I think the House budget will come in somewhere around 45 plus billion. You know, when you have 160 representatives, and I'm doing four amendments myself. Everyone tries to do three or four amendments. When you start adding some of those, you don't get them all, but when you start adding those up, you know, it does play into this. The one good thing about this budget is we're doing it without adding any more taxes to individuals, to businesses, et cetera. So, and we're putting some money away in the rainy day fund as well. A couple $100 million on the rainy day fund to start building that back up again.
Yeah, where does that sit right now? I know that some of those monies were used for fiscal 21, that because of we're dealing with a pandemic, and, you know, knowing that revenues were down, that there had to be a way to kind of balance things out.
Yeah, it was over $3 billion at one point. It's now around $2 billion. I don't know the exact number. It's around $2 billion at this point. And we'll work our way to get it back up there again. But, you know, you use it for a rainy day, and it was really pouring out last year during COVID. And, you know, still is to a certain degree. We're still under a state of emergency. There are still a lot of people hurting, a lot of businesses hurting out there. But more relief will be coming. The good news with this budget is that, as you know, the federal government provided funding for states. We're looking at $4.5 billion that the state of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is receiving, and it's not part of this House budget. We will start looking at that $4.5 billion sometime in June, and look to see, you know, where we want to put that money. To help more in a one-time shot in the arm type deals. For example, tourism. If we can put a couple $100 million into tourism for the Commonwealth by doing, you know, ads throughout the country to welcome people back to Massachusetts, you know, things like that. I know C. Plymouth received a grant from the cultural, from MOT, the Office of Travel and Tourism, for about $100,000. You're going to see billboards throughout Massachusetts welcoming people to Plymouth, from the Berkshires all the way down to the Cape. You're going to see these billboards throughout. So we're really going to be promoting tourism in Plymouth and the general area here on the South Shore.
It's worth noting that. What other ways do you see this money being spent? This is monies, the federal money is separate from monies that communities themselves are going to be receiving.
That's correct.
From this American Recovery Plan, the Biden bill, correct?
That's correct, yeah. Every city and town is going to get some money. In total, it was over $8 billion that the Commonwealth received. You know, $3.5 goes directly to the cities and towns, and then $4.5 comes to the state. I think you're going to see a lot of it, you know, going into more in education, healthcare, childcare. There's a lot of needs and a lot of programs. And like I said, it's if we can do, you know, one shot in the arm to some of these, no pun intended, to some of these programs, the better off we'll be. We're also looking at, you know, using some of that money to help with unemployment for the solvency fund, for unemployment for small businesses that have been hit drastically. We spent 15 years worth of unemployment we spent in 1 year in 2020. And that goes back and hits the businesses, particularly the small businesses. So if we can use some of that money to help the decrease the cost of the small businesses, we'll do that as well.
Do you feel that we are trending out of this pandemic? I know New Hampshire just lifted their mask requirement. I think it has been teased that Massachusetts may do it in some form or fashion under the governor. Teased it, but we don't know what form or fashion. What are your thoughts on lifting the mask bans, but only if you're outside or something like that?
Yeah, I think we're getting close to that point. I know in New Hampshire, I believe it's somewhere about 70% of their residents have been vaccinated. And that's sort of the number we're looking for here in Massachusetts. Right now, we have, over 2.2 million people fully vaccinated. We really want to get to somewhere around 4.1, 4.2 million people vaccinated. And we should be able to hit that mark, sometime around right after Memorial Day. So I suspect sometime in the next, 4 to 6 weeks, we'll probably see that mask mandate and some other things, being lifted. And we've always looked at data and not dates. And it's worked, I think, pretty well for us.
One last question in regards to the budget. What do you feel is going to be the toughest part of this week? Have you already hit that part, or what are you looking at as far as when it comes to discussions and taking votes?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that difficult, Kevin. I think it's just going to be long because there are, I think it's 1,160 amendments that we have to deal with, each one of those. There's going to be some tough decisions of what to accept and what not to accept. But I think every representative realizes that, you put in what you think you can get, but knowing that you're not going to get everything that you asked for. So, but I think we've done a pretty good job, like I said, with healthcare, education, transportation. So we'll continue to work at it this week, and we'll get through it and then get it to the Senate. And then the Senate will start working on their end of it by the third week of May. And hopefully we get it wrapped up. We'll have a state budget by July 1st.
Well, that's the hope. I know the past couple of years it's been kind of tough because once it gets to the conference committee, usually they're duking it out for, a few weeks. And it's the past couple of years. It's actually, last year could not be helped because of the circumstances, but the prior year did trend right into July.
Yeah, we have a new speaker now in Speaker Mariano. So things are, a little bit different, I think, now with the dynamics and Senate President Spilka. So, we'll see how it goes, but we're hopeful that we'll have it by July 1st.
We've just got a couple of minutes left here. Anything we haven't touched upon, but you want to take a moment to chat about while I have you here?
Well, one thing, Kevin, I know this is dear to your heart as well, is local access cable television.
Yes.
I know there's a bill out there that we are looking at and trying to lobby for streaming services to put some taxes on streaming services so that some of this money will go in the state coffers, but some of the money will go to local access stations like PAC TV and the Marshfield station, your station, and
Abington.
In Abington, yeah. And I think if anything has shown in this pandemic, there's a lot of pros that have come out of this, I think. And one of them has been these local cable access stations. They have been a godsend in our communities to get trusted information out to people when they really need it. When people are really scared and not sure which way to turn. I know in Plymouth, we're coming up on our 100th COVID show by the end of May. That will be our last show, May 26th. But it's been, people have been tuning in since March 13th to our shows and getting all this trusted information and finding out the good, bad, and the ugly. But they're finding out things that they wouldn't have been able to find out during this pandemic any other way.
And I think with the bill you're talking about, I believe Joan Moschino, Representative Moschino, brought that forth. I think she didn't do I'm not sure if she did it alone. I think she's done it with other representatives. I don't know if there's something on the Senate side.
Yeah, she took the lead with that and has really done a good job with that. And we're really trying to get the word out. And, we're lobbying the speaker to have that come to a vote at some point soon. But if there's any time, again, that for this bill to go through, this will be the year to do it. There were so many heroes in this whole thing and people that work at these access stations, these local cable access stations were true heroes. Just think about it, Kevin. They kept our government going. you know, we had to keep doing the people's work, and we try to figure out how do we do that? How do we communicate that out? And by having things like, you know, Zoom meetings, Zoom town meetings, Zoom, you know, Board of Selectmen meetings and zoning board meetings, et cetera, we had to continue the work, and they were there stepping up front and center saying, how can we help?
Now, is it possible that we will hear that this week, or is that something down the road?
No, that'll be down the road. That's a bill that'll be coming out in one of the committees. I'm not sure what committee it's on yet, but that'll be coming out hopefully soon. And we're hoping that will come out soon for a vote.
Yeah, and because this is the second time that it actually made it into committee, if I'm correct.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct.
Well, Representative, as always, I want to thank you for always coming on. And it seems like we plumb run out of time when we're sitting here and talking. I thank you for your time and look forward to, I'm really looking forward to the next time you're on the radio program.
Yeah, anytime, Kevin. It's my pleasure. And thank you for having me on again. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Here he is, State Representative Matt Muratori, representing Plymouth, the 1st Plymouth District. We're going to step aside. And when we come back, more Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. Don't go anywhere.
At South Shore Bank, helping you reach your financial goals is the priority. But helping you strengthen your community is our passion. Service is a commitment, but support is a calling. Success is the name of the game, but sharing success is the only way we win. As a mutual bank, we make sure that what's good for you serves the greater good. Because here, profits are reinvested in our communities. Success, the feeling's mutual. Visit us today at southshorebank.com. Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
The ability to combine your physical and mental well-being with a simple over-the-counter remedy has arrived. From Fuse Health CBD products, locally sourced in New England, Fuse Health delivers completely natural, organically grown, 100% hemp-based CBD products to your door. Nurture sore muscles and joints. Enjoy a better night's sleep. Visit fuse-health.com to learn which edibles, tinctures, topicals, and oral sprays might work best for you. Visit fuse-health.com.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Thank you for keeping your radio dial set here to 95.9 WATD. You are tuned into Monday Night Talk. And if you've missed any of our past episodes, you can check the homepage of our website, 959WATD.com, for all the latest podcasts as we do our best to upload those. Our conversation at this particular point in the radio program is talking about Mother's Day, but also the preservation of theater, a local theater company on the South Shore. Joining me right now is a gentleman who's been on previously, many times before, Donald Sheehan, founder and artistic director of the True Repertory Theater. Donald, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for having us.
You got it. And also joining us is Mr. Paul Noonan. He is the associate artistic director of the True Repertory Theater. Paul, welcome to the conversation.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having us. Pleasure.
So, gentlemen, I know COVID-19 has not been kind to anybody. There's not many people who've been able to enjoy the things that we normally do. And I believe that you're looking ahead because we are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel in regards to COVID. Everybody's getting a shot in the arm. Hopefully we're going to reach herd immunity by maybe the summer, early fall. And I believe that True Repertory Theater is actually looking towards having a season. Is that correct, Donald?
Yes, Kevin, that is correct. The last time that we were able to perform was over a year ago in February of last year with our production of Steel Magnolias. You know, we attempted to, we started rehearsals for a production of Into the Woods last summer, and then some circumstances surrounding COVID forced an immediate shutdown during one of our rehearsals. And we haven't been able to do anything since then. We've been doing a lot of planning to take the theater to the next level. And there's a lot of exciting developments that are taking place right now that we're looking forward to announcing in the upcoming months. But yes, we are, thankfully, it looks like things are getting much better with COVID, and that, to your point, we will reach herd immunity within the upcoming months. Our current plan or hope is to start doing outdoor theater over the summer and to pick up rehearsals with a production of Into the Woods that we started rehearsing last summer. So there will be that and possibly one other production, something along the lines of a Greek farce, Greek comedy, something along that line. Two shows over the summer, and then hopefully back indoors for several productions starting in the fall.
So I would ask you, Paul, I mean, in order to be able to put on these productions, it's not necessarily something that is comes without a cost. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing, Kevin, is there's so many costs involved that the average layperson probably wouldn't be aware of. And that's things like set design, lighting, the audio, the costuming, the hair and makeup, that kind of thing. And then it's getting everybody together and being able to get everybody in one space at one time, as many times as we need to do it. So aside from the financial piece, there's a lot going on that we need to kind of coordinate at this point in time, especially since everything is happening at once now. But we've kind of prepared for this moment, and the fundraising piece is a big part of it. Yeah.
Donald, if you will, kind of talk to us about, we got a very special day coming up shortly, Mother's Day. Everybody loves mom, and it's important to recognize mom because, well, that's how we were all birthed, is mom. but the idea is that you guys have a genius idea here, and that is a Mother's Day basket raffle. Can you give me some of the details of this? And these funds will go towards the 21-22 season of plays.
Yeah, that's correct. So one of the things that we've been working on over the last several months is to develop a fundraising board. And right now that group is expanding. And that is something we currently have three people that are on that board and met probably about 3 weeks ago and came up with this really great idea for this Mother's Day basket. The basket itself has a value of over $500. You know, if you look at some of the items, some of the swag that's in there, I think any mother out there would definitely enjoy these items. Some of those items are a mini photo session with Tracy Marino Photography. We also have a one-hour body massage with a licensed massage therapist named Michelle Iacaroni. We also have some Pure Haven skincare products, Kindred Spirit gift card. Kindred Spirit is located in Bryanville Center here in Broke. They have a lot of great and unique items over there. And there's also some other great stuff. And we really have a wonderful response so far. The ability to purchase raffle tickets for the basket will run through midnight on Wednesday, May 5th. And then we will actually be doing the drawing. There will be one winner for this, and we will be drawing that ticket on Thursday, May 6th at noon. And that will be streaming live on Facebook. We've been fortunate to get the new town manager of Kingston, his name is Keith Hickey, to actually draw the winning ticket for us. So we're really excited about all of this. You know, it's getting a lot of interest and engagement. And the other thing that it does for us, you know, specific to COVID, is it keeps us out there and engaged with the community. And we've been receiving a lot of feedback from folks that they're happy to see that we're still involved and moving forward with things, and some other people that hadn't heard about us at all before and are looking forward to the future productions.
Now, Paul, what is, as far as people being able to pay, myself, I'm more of a digital guy. Is there a way for me to pay through some of the normal apps?
In terms of ticket purchasing?
Ticket purchasing, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Tickets can be purchased on our website, True Repertory Theater's website, which is True Rep Theater with an R-E at the end, .com, or PayPal, or Venmo. And we have some details we can give there. Not sure that we want to give them over the air in terms of contact information, but that's how tickets can be purchased. Donald, if you want to add to that, you can, in terms of your contact info with Venmo.
Yeah, there is a way to do it through Venmo. They can also purchase, go through the event page on our Facebook page, which is at True Repertory Theater, and there they can actually get the information to both the Venmo link as well as the PayPal link. So all the information is listed there with every item that is in the basket. I believe it's a total of 8 items that are in the basket. And you know, the other advantage in visiting our website is there will always be announcements there as to what is currently going on, and you know, we'll shortly be announcing what we have planned for our season. So yeah, the website, as Paul mentioned, or directly through Facebook. They can also, if they wish, to send in a personal check for the raffle, they can do that as well. They would want to make that check out to True Repertory Theater and mail it to the theater's attention at Post Office Box 1235 in Pembroke, Massachusetts. And the zip code is 02359. If they are going to do that, we would need to have receipt of those checks no later than May 1st.
And Donald, did we go over ticket prices for the raffle?
No, not yet.
All right.
I was going to ask if it was kind of a weighted system, because I was kind of looking at it. It's kind of genius that, you know, the more you spend, the more tickets you get.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we went back and forth with that a few different times, you know, mathematically, to see what worked out the best. But right now we have it. The ticket prices are $50 for 15 tickets, $20 for 5, 15 for 2, and 10 for 1. So more is better in this case. But for the price of the tickets and for what the basket is in Mother's Day, you can't go wrong. And there's no shopping involved.
So. Let me ask you this, though. Let's say, folks, and if you are just tuning into this conversation, we're speaking with Paul Noonan, who is the Associate Artistic Director for True Repertory Theater, as well as Donald Sheehan, Founder and Artistic Director. You know, what if folks aren't necessarily interested in the basket? And again, we're here geared towards talking about this basket, but I'm also here to talk a little bit about the preservation of theater on the South Shore. What if somebody wanted to just send a check to help you because they are theater buffs, and you know what? They're tired of, they don't like driving up to Boston. They like local theater. Is there a way for someone to do that?
Sure. Yeah, they could certainly mail us in a check, you know, to that post office box we just mentioned. Or, you know, I would say the other avenue that is probably the easiest is to go directly to our website. And in the upper right hand corner of the website, there is a donate button right there that will take you through step by step in terms of how to make a specific donation. And that's a great point, Kevin. We've actually had some folks reach out to us and say, you know, I'm not necessarily interested in the basket itself, but we've seen your shows in the past and we would really love to donate, because again, as is the case with everybody else, right, that, you know, COVID has impacted any and all companies, you know, in Massachusetts and across the country for that matter. So yeah, we have had some people ask that question.
Because to be honest, I mean, it's costly to be able, if you're doing timepieces or if you're doing a period play, you know, it's gonna cost more. And you know, if there's a way for folks to be able to assist with some of your upcoming productions, you know, again, I don't know if you have a bottom line or if there's a dollar amount that you're targeting, and you know, more is better. But you know, now's the time if you want to kind of share that information as well.
Donald, do you want to touch on that in terms of
Sure. Yeah, Kevin, that's a great point as well. You know, we were talking about this the other night, or actually probably a couple of weeks ago, rather. when we were discussing ticket prices and things of that nature, that if we're doing a straight play, meaning, you know, non-musical, that show can cost anywhere between $3,000 and $7,000 to produce. And then if you're talking about musical theater, that's always much more expensive. And you're looking in the realm of anywhere between $8,000 and $10,000. So, it can be rather expensive.
And I think what's also important to know, and sorry to interject, Donald, but none of us get paid, starting with Donald. Every dime that we bring in at True Rep Theater goes back in to True Rep Theater. And, those costs add up. You know, it's a lot of money. And, we welcome people, even if you can't donate, we welcome you to visit our website, to visit Facebook, and just see what we're all about, because finding quality theater anywhere for a reasonable price is difficult, especially in this time. But that's something that we pride ourselves on, is offering quality theater at an affordable cost. So visit us and see what we're all about. And if you can donate, we would really appreciate it, because we put it right back into the theater.
And if we could one more time tease the idea as to what you have coming up, when at the earliest date would you gentlemen know when you can actually, you know, start promoting and rehearsing the 21-22 season?
Sure. Well, with everything being so fluid with COVID, the conversations about getting started sort of change from week to week. Certainly the conversations about outdoor productions right now are a little bit easier to have. And of course, as everyone else is hoping, you know, that things are really turning in a better direction with COVID. I would say that we should be able to at least announce what's going to be happening outdoors within the next month. And then I think from there, it will be a separate conversation about indoors. But, you know, the thing that we've also been doing, Kevin, is just planning for everything across the board with the anticipation and hope that we will be able to get back indoors by the fall. So we will be making official announcement, but I think we'll need to preface it with everything is to be determined, depending on what happens with COVID. So I would say within the next month or so, you know, we're still figuring out some other things about the shows themselves and casting and all that good kind of stuff that always goes on behind the scenes. But I would say probably within the next month, we should be able to make sort of an announcement.
And probably one of my final questions, we just have a couple of moments left here in the segment. Could you, again, share the details of the Mother's Day basket once again for folks who may have tuned in a bit late? This is a fantastic basket, and also the ways that they can pay for it.
Sure. Paul, do you want to take that?
Yeah, and I think I'm actually going to read right from our Facebook announcement, because it says it better than I could. True Repertory Theater will be raising funds for our 21-22 season with our Mother's Day basket raffle, which is an incredible basket. Tickets are on sale now, and we are selecting the winner on Thursday, May 6th at 12 noon. It's going to be drawn live on Facebook by the Kingston Town Manager, Keith Hickey. And again, that's going to be streamed to True Rep's Facebook page at True Repertory Theater with an RE live. And we will be shipping the basket to the winner. Tickets can be purchased on truereptheater.com or on our Facebook page. In terms of details with the basket is valued at over $500. Things such as some wine, some gift cards to a gift shop, for a massage, for nail therapy, all kinds of fun stuff for mom. So,
excellent. Great job, Paul. And again, I want to thank you both for joining me for this segment. Donald, you have the final word. Anything you want to say in closing for all those theater buffs on the South Shore who are anticipating news of a show in the near future?
Sure, absolutely. Thanks, Kevin. Well, first of all, I think most importantly, I want to thank our audience members, you know, for this past year and staying engaged with us. You know, again, we're seeing the interest already through this fundraising event. And, you know, we've had so much feedback that people are really looking for entertainment. You know, it's like I said, it's been so long and people are really craving it. And we are looking to get back to it just as much as you are. And we hope that happens over the fall, over the summer.
Well, Paul, Donald, I want to thank you both. And I wish you success with not only this this fantastic Mother's Day basket raffle, but also the possibility that there will be theater here on the South Shore. We've been joined by Donald Sheehan, founder and artistic director of the True Repertory Theater, Paul Noonan, who is the associate artistic director. We'll step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. Stay tuned.
FM Marshfield, WBM.